didn't come to complain about who's not. Amen. I come to rejoice and praise God for who showed up to worship and praise the Almighty God. I want to talk to you a little bit this morning about God's will for mankind. That's a kind of a discussion that goes on, and God's got a will for all mankind. God's got a will for this nation, and God's got a will for this church, and God's got a will for your family, and God's got a will for you as an individual. Amen. And it's not hard to discuss and decide, because we've got His Word that He left us talking about His will for all mankind, for nations, for families, for individuals, for churches. And you know, this has been on my mind for a while, that people seem not to understand what God wants out of them anymore. Well, God's got a desire for us. God's got a plan for us. Each individual that's born, well, God has a plan for them. Now, His plan for this church, and I'm going to tell you very plain, is to stand firm on the Word of God. That's God's plan for this church, that we don't waver, we don't falter, we don't care what the world says, we don't care what the church down the road says. We stand on the Word of God and respect that and cling to it. Amen. And by that, you'll be an outcast before it's over. You'll be a church that's talked about if time continues long enough. Well, that church over there, you know how they are. They believe this and they believe that. And we believe it because it's the Word of God. But it won't be accepted. If time continues, you'll be an outcast because you belong to New Salem Baptist Church and because we stand on the Word of God. The world don't agree with it. The devil don't agree with it. And as sad as I hate to say it, you'll be disliked by many people, but we have God's Word saying that. And what we're looking at this morning is to encourage us that we understand and know the Word of God, that we stand for it regardless of what takes place and what goes on around us. There'll be some situations that we'll face right here in this community in the next 2 or 3 weeks or next month that some will agree and some will disagree, but we're going to stand on God's Word regardless of what takes place. I want to look, and I want you to think about this, God's will for mankind. That's what we're going to start with. That includes everybody, everything, nations, countries, individuals, family life, churches. And so let's talk about God's will. To start, I want to start in 2 Timothy and chapter 3, and I'm going to start verse 14. We're going to first talk about the Word of God and the surety of it. I'm talking about God didn't make a mistake in this Bible. There's no mistakes. I don't care how they explain it. I don't care how they try to interpret it. This is God's Word. It's the truth, and it'll be the truth when the world's over and ended. When the Lord returns, this will still be the truth. And I'm proud of that, that we can stand and have the truth, the Word of God, that we can preach from our pulpits, we can believe in our church, we can accept in our heart and stand strong in a time of trial. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." I want to break this down a little bit, verse 14. "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." We've learned these things from God. The things that we know from this church, from these servants, that comes from the Word of God. And it talks about He wants us to continue in the things that we've learned. A continuation, doing what we have always done, that we stand firm on that Word, the Word of God. And when we think about continue, there's people that used to be among us that haven't continued. They've went out of the will of God. They've stepped out because of this or that, whatever. And verse 15, "And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." This is a major factor in our church service, that we believe our salvation comes through the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Son of God dying on the cross of Calvary, shedding His blood for our sins. And that's where a lot of places we differ from the world, from the other churches around, that we give credit and praise to Jesus Christ. Our Savior, Son of God, died for your sins and for the world. In verse 16, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God." Major thing right here. This came from God. This don't come from some man's idea or some counsel's idea of what they wanted to say. This came from God. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. Now, that's something we need to truly focus on in this day and time, that we know who we believed in. That's what Don was talking about and what we're saying. We know in whom we believed. And it goes farther and is profitable for doctrine. Profitable. Now, notice the word profitable. I like to be profitable, don't y'all? I don't like to be unprofitable. But this word used is profitable, that is beneficial, that increases us in knowledge and understanding. I want to be very plain about this. It is profitable for doctrine. So this whole Word of God to us is profitable for what we believe and what we teach and what we preach. Everything in the Word of God, we're going to take it as it is. I'm not going to try to water it down or weaken it up to make it say what we want to believe. We're going to believe what God says regardless. And it is for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now, people that tell me they don't know why or how they're supposed to live or how they're supposed to conduct their life, they're not looking to the Word of God. They want to refuse what God said. It says very plain. It's for correction, for instruction in righteousness. In verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, we're coming into a situation, and a lot of people say, well, I don't know if I can think of myself perfect or not. We all have faults, and we all have problems in this flesh. But I'm talking about that that's born of God, that part that lives inside, which is God Himself, the Holy Spirit, is perfect. Amen. Amen. And so, this is God's part of God's will for mankind. That we be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now that's not too hard to concern it. Understand God's will for the all of mankind, God's will for the nation, God's will for this church, God's will for this community, that we may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now that's the will of God. A lot of people say, I don't know what God's will is. It's not hard to figure out. God's got a desire to see us be what He'd have us to be. Let's look back, if you would in 1 Timothy. I think that's where I want to go. 1 Timothy and chapter 2. 1 Timothy and chapter 2. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Now, we're talking about God's will for mankind is that, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. So, God's will is that we be thankful. That we be thankful. I don't care what you say is in your life. I don't care what problem we're facing. God's desire and will is that we be thankful. All mankind. That this church, your family, you as an individual, be thankful. I know we have struggles and trials and tribulations in this life. It's a hard life. It's a hard work. But we need to be thankful in all things. In verse 2, it said, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. Now, these things God's calling on us to do. Verse 3, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. I thought about God's will. I thought about where we stand as a church. And in part, I'm responsible as pastor. And the other part's on you. We're all responsible. Amen. And I got thinking about, and you know, we've seen a minute ago about the resurrection, about the homecoming day. And I got thinking about all the saints that we're going to see that day. All the loved ones we're going to re-meet that day. And then I got thinking about, I'm going to stand before Jesus. And I sure don't want to stand there guilty because I hadn't told you the truth from the Word of God. I don't want to stand there guilty because I modified it or I changed it to fit my application. Now you notice this. This is going on every day. More and more and more and more. If God's Word don't suit them, modify it. You want to have a great big church with a great big number and a a great big collection. Modify the Word of God. That's what everybody's hunting. They're hunting a church that don't apply God's Word to them. I believe we could double our number, put it on our sign, and say, we're not going to abide by God's law or Word anymore. Just come and do anything's okay. People are hunting that kind of church. In verse 3, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Now listen very closely. Who will have all men to be saved. You hear this? God's will is that all men would be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. Now that's God's will for mankind. That's God's will for all of us sitting here present today. God's will for this church to have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of what? Of the truth. Now, when we start talking truth, this is where we err in many places because people don't want to hear the truth. They don't want to hear that God says this is not right. God says this is the way we're supposed to correct ourselves and deal with other people. And so many times people want to modify what the Word of God said to justify what they want it to be. I don't want a justified or modified church. I want a church believing in God's Word. I don't want to have to stand one day before the Lord Jesus Christ and say, yeah, we changed that because it didn't suit us. You think about it. Now, we know and have an idea of what God would have us to be. An example as a church. He wants us to set, as a light set on a hill, cannot be hid. He wants us to have an example. He wants us to set a precedent of the way we live, the way we conduct ourselves, the way we speak, and our manner, and our belief in the doctrine. Now, I got thinking about the other side of this and where we're at. Now, God's will is very important, but I want you to see also where we're at in this nation and where many of us are in our families today. So in 2 Timothy 3 and 13 made it very plain and clear. It said, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And so, you know, we have this going on this day and time. And I got thinking about that word, that evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. There's a great deception going on today that people are being told, oh, yeah, God said it, but he didn't mean it. Oh, yeah, well, that's God's word, but you think he really meant it that way? That's where we're at. And that's a deception that's going on that people are saying, oh, okay, it's okay if we change on God's word here. We don't have to believe that. We don't have to believe this. We that don't suit us, so we're going to change that. And that's where the seduction goes on and the deceiving goes on. And it said it's going to wax worse and worse. So if there's one thing that I'd like us to accomplish here today, if you, when you run into it, you can say, our preacher stood and warned us about that. Our preacher told us that there were going to be seducers, that evil men were going to wax worse and worse. And I'm seeing it take place. And that way you can guard against it. I want you to hear it. I want you to understand. God said, this is where we're going to come to. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. So there's going to be a judgment day, and I'm thankful for that. I don't have to be so judgmental today. Jesus will take care of that. Amen. But he'll take care of my judgment also. Now that's what I have to be responsible for. It said, preach the word, be entrance in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And so what we believe, we use for correction, not only among ourselves, but for a world. If they ask us, what do you think about that? We have the answer through the Word of God and Scripture. Say, this is what God says. I don't want to tell them what Jim says. I don't want to tell them what any of y'all say. Our opinion and stuff won't matter 300-400 years from now. But God's word is going to stand forever. And we have to understand that God has a plan. In verse 3, it said, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. So where are we at? What does God want us to be? And where are we at? We're making a failing grade as a nation. We're making a failing grade as families, other than dedicated folks to the church and to God. we're kind of left out on an island that we're going to have to stand more or less on our own. And I want to make this statement. I'm ready to stand. Amen. I believe there's going to be a lot of us before this is over that we're willing to step up to our feet and say we're going to back God's word. We're going to promote what he says. We're going to believe that with all our heart, and we're not going to vary from it. I may be the most unpopular preacher on this mountain before it's over. I was counting on that. Because it's getting so I don't have anywhere else to go. But you understand what I'm saying. I know a few churches that cling and hold the Word of God. And I know so many that stepped out. I couldn't be there. And I'm not whining. I like where I'm at. As long as a couple of y'all show up, I'm going to preach. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Now this is where we get into the popularity. If they'll speak what you want them to hear, they'll come. They'll show up. You'd fill a house up. Okay, we're not going to talk about what God said. We're going to talk about what you want and what you want to do and how you want it to be. And you can have a big crowd and a big congregation. I don't doubt that whatsoever. In verse 4, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. This verse 4 is very important to me. It's very important to you that we stand and believe the truth, that we don't turn away to the fables. The truth. Now, the fables are anything contrary to the Word of God. If God don't say it, it's a fable, right? If God's Word don't say this is what to do or not to do, then it's a fable. And we don't have time for that at New Salem Baptist Church. We don't have time for it in my lifetime. Don't have time for it in your lifetime. I tell you what, I've saw too much through the years people play in church. It's time for us to get faithful. It's time for us to get steady and stand on our feet and say, this is what God says, and that's what we believe. Amen. And before it's out over, you'll be spoken hard of. Oh, you go over there to that church. Oh, you go over there to that church. Well, they believe Jesus died on the cross. Where they believe God set marriage for man and woman. Where they believe that man's to be the head of the household. And I'm not saying that against ladies. That's what God says. Where they believe pastors are to be the husband of one wife. Oh, you're of that church. They believe these things. Amen. We believe these things because God says it. Not because that's the way I planned it, but God says it. We're just complying with the Word of God. It goes a little farther. It said, but watch out in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. And so we think about the ministry that God has blessed us with at New Salem. We need to make full proof of our ministry, that we're outgoing in the community, that we tell people the truth, whether they accept it or not, that they hear from us God's Word. This is God's Word. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. Know this also. Now listen to this. Know this also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own self, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy. Boy, that sounds like where we're at today, don't it? You know, this is talking about in the last days. I believe we're in the last days. So this is nothing we shouldn't be expecting, that this is going to come. God says it, it's going to happen. It said, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Now, when I said a minute ago, you might be an outcast because you believe like we do at New Salem Baptist Church, because you're a member. You might be outcast. You might be hard thought of, because right here it says despisers of those that are good. Good, believe the word of God. I'm praying that we keep a good congregation here because of the blood of Jesus Christ and because of the grace of God bestowed upon us, that we would have to be considered good folks because we believe what God says. And then right here it said, despisers of those that are good. And so you're going to be despised. Are you ready for this? Are you ready to sit down? I hate it. I'd love to tell you it's going to be a tulip walk through the bed of roses. But if you stand on God's word, you will be persecuted. This is coming more all the time. We're already in a minority. We're already in a big minority, Christians in overall. And then if you bring that down to the point that of Christians that believe all the word of God, you're in a big minority. Jim brought it up. I saw it on TV. 52% of America want to legalize marijuana. Did y'all see that this week? That they think drugs are okay. Does that shock anybody? You know, didn't shock me. I thought, that's the world we're in. It's a nation we're in. People want it, let them have it. That's the mentality. Why should we hinder anybody from something they want to do? Because God says don't do it. That's it. In verse 5, or verse 4, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Well, now that suits us really good today, don't it? Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. That hurts church attendance because they love pleasure more than they do God. It hurts Christian lives because they love pleasure more than they do God. You need to think about these things. In verse 5, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Now, instructions. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Instruction of God. They're going to have a form of godliness. They're going to call it a church. But it's up to us to know the difference. And it said, from such, turn away. And that's a sad thing. That it's going to set us as individuals before this is over. It said, for this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sin, led away with divers lust, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And so we've already read that God's will for all mankind is that we come to the knowledge of the truth. And so these folks are out of the will of God. Some thoughts in my mind as I look through the congregation and think for the past 5 years of the people that's been here and have left and gone away, some to other churches under the leadership of God and some captive by Satan. Now, that's just plain as I know how to say it. A lot of people say, well, you sure the devil got them? Yeah, the devil got them. There are just two powers on this earth that we're serving today. That's the power of God and the power that God allows Satan to have. And so if they're out of here, it's under the power and leadership of the devil. But I've got some hope in that also. You know, I read this last night and I rejoiced in the fact that I've got hope. I'm recovering, taking something away from the devil. Have you ever thought about that? You ever tried to take a little toy away from a kid that didn't want to give it up? They'll hang on to that thing, they'll hold it. And I thought about, you know, that example will be used. Just a little bitty kid can hang on to a toy or a sucker. You ever tried to take a good sucker away from a kid? They'll hang on to that thing and jerk back. Now you think about taking something away from the devil. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. I read that last night and had to pray about some things I'd done. I don't know how that hits you, but sometimes, you know, my patience is about this big. Sometimes I'm not real gentle. But with God's help, I'm going to get there. He's still working on me. In verse 25, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God preadventure will give them repentance unto the acknowledging of the truth. So the folks that's known the truth, been led away by the devil, and turned away from the truth, he said he's going to give them an opportunity that through repentance, acknowledging of the truth. In verse 26, very important, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. And so these folks have a power and an opportunity that if they will repent, God will return to them the acknowledging of the truth, and they can recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, can take something away from the devil by the power of God and acknowledging their problems. And so there's hope for everybody that left here under the leadership and the power of the devil. There's hope for every one of them. They may be back. Amen. I'm expecting them, don't you? That if they could understand and know this word and know that, and it said here that are taken captive by him at his will. Now I got thinking about, can the devil capture me at his will? If the devil willed, could he capture me and make me not believe the truth? And I got praising and thanking God last night for what's wrote in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4. It's very plain. If you are of God, little children, listen to this, and have overcome them. Understand? Have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The devil can't capture me because I've got something inside greater than he is. Amen. I've got that Spirit, Holy Ghost of God, received by through the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that protects me. And I got things. God, the devil's will can't overpower me, because it can't overpower the power of the God that's living in me. And so the hope to us is that we get filled with the Holy Spirit, that we get filled with the power of God, that we not only stand for His Word, we uphold His Word, we preach His Word, we teach His Word, we witness to the community about it, but also that the devil don't have power over us. Filled with the Holy Spirit of God. This is instruction time. New Salem Baptist Church. Of things to expect and things to come in your life. I believe we're going to see a lot of these things if the Lord tarries. I've come to the point that I pray every night, Lord, come quick. And then I think about it, and I think about all the loved ones and all the people I know that's not saved, and if that coming, it's too late for them. And I have a problem with it. And I'll wrestle that a while now. But overall, I pray, Lord, come quick. Just come back. That's the message I've got to deliver to you today. I may be spoken evil of, but I'm going to stand on the Word of God, and that's what I believe. That's what we have to believe. And that's what I'm going to stand as pastor of this church. I appreciate the people that stood, and I'm asking you today, stand on God's Word, stand with me, that we continue sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. It's through that we're going to receive the truth. And without the truth, there's no salvation. And I'm going to tell you, if a church has lied about one thing, they'll lie about everything. So we have to have the truth. Amen. Y'all stand. We're going to be dismissed. Y'all pray about our sick folks. Got a lot of people still out sick. I don't know if everybody's heard it or not. Brother Fred's in the hospital. So y'all be praying for him. You can talk to Melvin about the condition of him, or Martha. And Brother Fred told me yesterday he was hoping to come home today, but I don't see that happening. I just don't see that. So y'all pray for him, and continue to pray for the rest of the folks. We got out sick and serious conditions of folks in the community that you need to continue praying about also. They need God's help. Okay, any word, anything before we dismiss?